Gentas presents The Mariners by Vivian Stewart, performed by Simon Slater. Chapter 1. Misa had quickly readapted to life at the mission. The hardest part of it was the early morning rising. Like her father and the rest of her people, she could never understand why white men felt that the day was wasted if not begun before the sun. But she followed the rules without question, her compliance made easy by the fact that she enjoyed the work with the children. Her job was to teach them to speak English, and when she was immersed in her work, there were times when she could forget her disgrace, could be unaware of the growing life in her. But gradually her girlish shape began to be distorted, so that by the time Tui came to visit her many weeks after she had left the village, she was protruding quite noticeably. When she was told that she had a visitor, she half expected to see her father. She ran from the classroom with a great smile on her face, and the smile faded only briefly when she saw Tui. He too was smiling broadly, and the smile stayed on his face even as his eyes fell to her bulging stomach. "Misa," he said, "you are as beautiful as the sunrise on the sea." "You look well, Tui," she replied, very conscious of her stomach. "I would have come sooner, but Molo told us that you had eloped with a man from one of the far islands. Only recently did I learn you are here." "You see me," she said. "You know why my father feels that it is necessary to lie." "I was there," he said. "Remember? I left you with the white man, knowing that you intended paying the debt for all of us." She said nothing. "Come walk with me." He took her hand and led her away from the mission to an overlook. In the bay below, the full-rigged ship was moving toward the German port. She felt comfortable with Tui. "Once you said you would go to sea, and some day be captain of such a ship as that," she said. He laughed. "It only took a few days at home for me to forget such foolishness. I have had enough to do with the white man." He looked at her searchingly. "I suspect that you may feel the same way."
"Our life with the white men is just beginning," Misa said, shaking her head. "The Reverend MacDougall, who runs the mission, conducts a class for older students in which he teaches the ways of the white men and their history. He tells us that we must adapt to the white man's ways. He says that we cannot continue to live in the way we have always lived.
We must don breeches and do manual labor for a few coins." Tui's tone was bitter. "Not this one. Not as long as there are fish in the sea and fruit on the trees."
"Things are changing, Tui," Misa said. "I have learned from the Reverend MacDougall that the white men of three great nations are contesting for our islands."
"But they are our islands. Your words admit it. What right has the white man to contest for them?"
"We don't have great ships," Misa answered, "nor cannons, nor guns. We do not make things of iron and steel. Our numbers, compared with the people of any one of the great nations who come here, are few."
"They only want our copra," Tui said contemptuously, "and they offer tin trays and glass beads in return. I, for one, can do without the white men and their trade goods. I would wear bark cloth instead of this cotton, if it would make the white man go away."
"They want more than copra," Misa said. "I do not fully understand, but the Reverend MacDougall says that the real prize in Samoa is our harbours. He says that the English, the Germans, and the Americans are here for that, to control our harbours, and thus to hold dominion over all the seas around."
"The oceans are open to all who dare to brave them," was Tui's only answer. Misa was becoming frustrated at his refusal to understand.
"The Reverend MacDougall says that there might be war over our islands."
"Let them fight then," Tui said. "We will go into the hills until they have killed one another, and all their ships rest on the bottom of the sea." She said no more. Even after living with the white missionaries, Misa herself understood little of the ways of the white man, and trying to explain them to Tui was next to impossible. "No more talk of the white man and his foolishness," Tui said, as if reading her thoughts.